to the
To January 19th.
I'm going to call this meeting of the House Committee on Early Childhood and Family Supports for Tuesday, February 28th, 2017, to order. Before I open the informational hearing, just a couple of reminders. I know you've already been reminded so many times, you're tired of being reminded, but you're going to get it one more time. 5 p.m. today, deadline for submitting issues to the Chief Clerk's Office, with the exception of the priority bills. Last week, the committee introduced 6 placeholder bills, and so we're waiting. I can't remember if they were on the first reading list yesterday or not. I think they were, but we're waiting for them to get referred to us. Okay. And then one of those, when they do, we'll be working with Representative Peluso to amend, dealing with the concept of court
care.
Care.
Yep.
Okay, right back there. And March 2nd. Will be an informational hearing on hub metrics, and that's when we'll start our discussion about all the things we've already talked about and identify those key areas. We'll have a, Dean's been working on a handout that kind of captures a lot of the high-level things that we ask questions about or talk in the areas, and we'll kind of work through that and then a few other questions. But I'll just encourage you when we get to that point, let's just be open and lay it out there if we have other concerns or questions. The goal will be... we're not in this session, given we're at just a new committee, we're not going to do a lot of tremendous policy work, but we may be working towards, in the short session or going forward, about things we might want to recommend. So that'll be the goal in doing that. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to open an informational hearing on Oregon Parenting Education Collaborative, and the first panel, Dr. Shauna, if you'd come forward, please, and just introduce yourselves when you before you speak for the record.
Good afternoon, Chair Lively and members of the committee. I'm Mary Louise McClintock. I'm the Director of Education Programs at the Oregon Community Foundation, and I'll let my colleague, Professor Tominey from Oregon State, introduce herself in a moment. We're also here with a group from Lane County, who will be our second panel. I'm honored to be here representing a coalition of 4 foundations that have invested nearly $10 million over the last 7 years in parenting education. Evidence-based classes, workshops, home visiting, and the infrastructure to support those programs. And we're very happy to have the opportunity to talk with you today about the Oregon Parenting Education Collaborative, because it isn't an isolated, privately funded initiative. The foundation's investments in parenting are contributing to the achievement of the state of Oregon's goals for young children, including school readiness, stable and attached families, and health. And the parenting education system that we have helped launch is increasingly interwoven and integrated with the publicly funded systems for health care and early learning that this committee is discussing every week. So I'll turn the presentation over to Dr. Tominey, who's going to walk you through some of the research that is so motivating for us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Louise. My name is Shauna Tominey. I'm a faculty member at Oregon State University. My path to getting there has actually been in this field. So I've been an early childhood educator, I've been a parenting educator, and I'm a parent. And that's what I'm here to talk about today, is parents. Because parents matter. Parents have an impact on their children, and through an extension, on our society, and that impact can be profound. A tremendous body of research, highlights the importance of a child's first 5 years, which I'm sure you know very, very well. From birth to age 3, a child's brain produces 700 new neural connections every second. And this likely contributes to that brain growth that happens. From the time an infant is born, their brain is 25% the size of an adult brain. By age 3, it's 80%. And 90% by age 5. So we know these early years and the development that happens in those early years is tremendous. With so much happening during a child's first 5 years, every dollar invested in early childhood counts. High-quality early childhood education from birth to 5 has been shown to have a 13% return on investment, likely one of the reasons that Oregon has invested in an infrastructure to support early learning. through these early learning hubs. Although many children attend early childhood education and care settings, 59% of Oregon's 3- and 4-year-olds are not enrolled in preschool. And children who do attend preschool come to these settings with vastly different experiences and skills. We know in Oregon that 35% of children have experienced 1 or 2 adverse childhood experiences, what we're calling ACEs. And 15% have experienced 3 or more. The most frequently experienced is poverty in Oregon, with 22% of Oregon's children living in poverty and 8% living in extreme poverty. Now, even at preschool entry, research is showing significant differences in children's language abilities, their self-regulation and executive function skills, and other early learning outcomes based in large part on those early learning and home experiences, with children who have experienced ACEs to be most at risk. Research shows that early childhood education programs that actively engage parents, that goes beyond family engagement, beyond families showing up at a parent-teacher conference or greeting a teacher when they walk in the door, but that actively promote parenting education, where parents are getting support and skills around parenting with modeling and practice, can actually double their impacts, double the effects that an early childhood program has on those families. As my slide shows here, research attributes up to 50% of the school readiness gap to differences in parenting. And that refers to parenting styles, parenting practices and skills, as well as those relationships that parents have with their children. Parenting style accounts for gaps in school readiness. They estimate about 19% of that gap in mathematics, 21% in literacy, and 33% in language. Let's see if I have this down now with the clicking. Children are spending about 13% of their waking hours from 0 to 18 in school settings. That leaves about 87% of their waking hours in the hands of their families. And we know that the skills and resources that parents have to provide children with the support they need varies drastically. Our society has made it the norm to take a birthing class. When you're pregnant, you go to the hospital and take a class to learn about labor and delivery. But once you take that child home, you're on your own. That's where parenting education can step in, and that's where parenting education really becomes vital. We know that parenting is learned. It can be practiced, it can be improved, and our knowledge of and research on those parenting practices that lead to the best outcomes for children has grown exponentially. We need to get that research and those skills and strategies that we know work to support thriving children into the hands of the people who need it most. That's parents. Traditionally, parents have learned a lot of their skills from their own families. And families are becoming increasingly separated from their families of origin geographically. And those families of origin don't always have that information, that most up-to-date information that parents might need to really support their children and help them thrive. Not only that, being apart from families that are scattered apart geographically also are missing out on social support. And social support is coming out as one of the strongest predictors of resilience. Parenting education provides this opportunity to get this evidence and research-based information into the hands of parents, as well as to build networks of social support to really help them thrive and promote that resilience for families and for children. So parenting education that I've been mentioning and throwing this term around, really what it is programs, support services, and resources for parents and caregivers that are designed to provide them with that knowledge, skills, and strategies related to parenting, child development, and those positive parent-child relationships, really supporting those stable and attached families. It's not about prescribing how to parent. We know that every family lives in a different context, has different resources, has different needs, different values and beliefs. It's about giving families options, giving them resources, supports, and strategies that will give them choices in how they parent and positive choices in how they parent, rather than relying on impulse, instinct, or falling back on what we do when we're stressed, which sometimes isn't the best practices. Research on parenting education has shown that parenting education is linked to increases in parenting practices, health-promoting behaviors, increases in children's cognitive and social development, as well as increased child and parent mental health. It's also related to decreases in parenting stress, child abuse, and neglect. The challenge we face is that parenting education has not been made widely available to our families. Historically, parenting education has been available to families who are mandated to participate by DHS or by the court systems, and that has led to and created in our society a stigma around what it means to reach out for parenting education. Parenting education is for bad families. They're for families who are inadequate in some way, who can't keep it together. And that's something that doesn't acknowledge that all parents can benefit from this type of support, the support that they need to really help themselves and their children thrive. And we're excited to share with you today about an initiative here in Oregon, the Oregon Parenting Education Collaborative, that has come together and really been formed to create an infrastructure, which is now nearly statewide, to support expanded access to parenting education, as well as a process for ongoing evaluation of those efforts to make sure that what's happening is working and being refined as that process goes along. So I'm going to turn over. Well, let me throw out one more thing. This isn't happening throughout our country. We're not seeing very many parenting education efforts. Those efforts are growing, particularly in the form of family engagement, but not as much in these direct services for parents and families. And so Oregon is really serving and starting to be recognized as a national model for parenting education, because this is something that really is new in our country and a very innovative approach to getting this information out there. Turn it over.
I'll stay here. So we, okay, all right. So when the foundations got together, we didn't set out to have a name with the same acronym as the International Oil Cartel, OPEC, which is what the Oregon Parenting
Education
Collaborative
that.
Is. But we've ended up concluding that it's entirely appropriate because it gives us a chance to underscore our strong belief that because they are raising our country's future citizens, parents really are our nation's most precious natural resource. When the foundations launched OPEC in 2010, it was because, number one, we were seeing the overwhelming evidence that Shauna has just given you a picture of, that parenting matters. Secondly, we had learned from grant making that we had been doing over the years in parenting education that it has an impact, that parents can learn skills by going to classes, and that life trajectories as a result can be changed. And thirdly, we had seen that there wasn't, and there still is not, a home for parenting education at the state level, despite the fact that parenting education is so cost-effective. We saw that there was a niche for philanthropy. So we set about working with communities to strengthening parenting education region by region through a network of parenting hubs that would work with partners to expand access to high-quality programs and make parenting education visible and normal and something that is available and beneficial to parents of all circumstances. I might add that a piece of this initiative and one of the areas that we're investing in as foundations is the role of the Hallie Ford Center for Healthy Children and Families at Oregon State University, where Shauna is a professor. Oregon State throughout has been our partner with the foundations, has developed an online reporting system that all of our grantees use. We're collecting incredible data across the state about the impacts of the programs that we're investing in. And we've been working with OSU to also build a profession of parent educators. And there's now more of a career system with a move towards credentialing. And that's something we can talk about in more detail. But I just wanted to make sure that that part was clear, that part of the infrastructure for us is a statewide repository for information on best practices and how to do this work. Thank you. So you'll get a closer look at an actual OPEC parenting hub when our colleagues from Lane County come up. But here are the roles. And the OPEC hub model actually predates the early learning hub model, but we've worked together to build very similar sorts of approaches, and you'll see that there are similarities, and the two systems are quite complementary, even though OPEC hubs are resources to parents of children of all ages, and not just parents with young children. OPEC hubs receive from the foundations initially 3-year grants of about $100,000 per year, and then declining amounts for several years after that. And we found that the hubs are able to continue to accomplish a great deal once they're established with about $50,000 in foundation support per year, thanks to the blending and braiding that they've been able to do with other sources, public, private, and nonprofit. And there's an emphasis within this infrastructure on expanding the availability, in particular, of multi-session classes using evidence-based curricula that OSU is able to help guide our grantees too, and we can talk with you more about that too. There are curricula that have been adapted and developed for parents from a variety of communities. So we're now reaching 29 of the 36 Oregon counties, plus, as you see there, Siskiyou County, California, because the Ford Family Foundation funds in Siskiyou as well. So they're part of the network. We were actually just in the districts of Representatives Bynum and Huffman and Malmstrom last week for conversations about renewal and expansion grants from the organizations that are leading hubs in those districts, and we'll be in other regions of the state in the coming couple of weeks for similar conversations and meetings. Here are the numbers over the last 7 years. These are parents reached through evidence-based classes, home visits, and workshops. Our grantees have offered classes in Spanish, Somali, Arabic, Burmese, and English. They've been reaching parents in prison, in church basements, schools, community centers, and in parents' homes. Just note the number there, 17.5 million leveraged. That means that the grantees have nearly doubled what the foundations have invested, or been able to leverage nearly double of the private funding. Most importantly, here are the results from evaluation. Parents who take OPEC-funded classes and workshops overwhelmingly tell us that they've gained confidence and important information from these experiences. And they see changes in their children that they attribute to their own improved strategies. So I'll conclude by going back up to the system level and returning to one of the main reasons that we wanted to talk with you. Over the last few years, as our hubs have matured and evolved, we've seen more and more integration of parenting strategies with other programs reaching young children and families, including the major public systems, early learning hubs, child welfare, community corrections, and healthcare organizations such as CCOs that see support for parenting as an upstream investment in health. In some regions, the parenting hubs are led by the same organizations that lead early learning hubs, and you'll see that's the case in Lane County. But I'm happy to say that there's cross-center integration, cross-sector integration in at least some regions where the geographic boundaries and governance aren't congruent. So on this map, you can see the red stars are denoting OPEC hubs where there are robust partnerships with healthcare, in particular CCOs. Still not everywhere, but it's increasing, and it's a type of collaboration that we've been working to encourage. We actually made some grants last year that are incentivizing healthcare partnerships. We're thrilled to see these interconnections because none of these systems, of course, has the funding to accomplish all that we want to if they just operate on their own, and because supporting young children and families requires a holistic cross-sector approach, and parenting education is not an investment the foundations are going to be able to make forever. So we want to work with you to strengthen those collaborations, and we welcome your thoughts about how to do that. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Questions? Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much for your presentation. A couple of things came to mind for me. I think it was two weekends ago, I took my kids to the Black Parent Initiative's Black Book Fair. Mm-hmm. And I told them, you should have this four times a year. They said, well, we do it twice, and I don't know how it never crossed my radar, but it was very important as a parent for me to be able to take the kids into the bookstores, as we always do, but for once, there were books that looked like us, and they were all pulled off the shelves, and it was there, and then they had a lot of activities for the kids to do, and that's almost non-existent in our community. So having the programs that allow different families from different cultures to be seen, I think, is very important. But the question I have is, while early childhood parenting education is important, I'm a mom of teens, and the rate at which we're seeing sexting, online bullying, social media, parents cannot keep up. My husband worked for the CIA, and he runs it like the CIA at home, but we still cannot keep up. So what can you talk about in terms of, like, what's available for teen families or families of teens and how we can protect them?
Well, Representative Bynum, it's probably a question that our colleagues who are here from one of the communities will be able to help answer, and we also have grantees here in the room with us from the Polk Yamhill Parenting Hub and the Marion County Hub, so we have lots of local expertise. But many of our parenting hubs, either themselves or with partners, deliver classes for parents of older kids and adolescents. It's not anywhere near as available as it should be. We hear every year from our hubs that they scramble for resources to offer classes and workshops for parents of teens. And we'd love to be able to help with that as well, and over time we may be able to. But I think you're right that that can be when it hits you the hardest, that you have no idea what you're doing as a parent. And so where do you go for resources? And we would totally support more resources, public and private, going to that area. And Black Parent Initiative actually is an OPEC grantee this year. They are not a hub per se, but they're receiving program dollars to expand some of their work with parents.
Sure, go ahead. And also, just to follow up on that, OSU conducted a parenting education mapping of the needs across Oregon over the last few years and looking at how those needs have changed. And one of the needs that came out that communities found was that with OPEC, they were seeing shifts and increases in programming for parenting ed around early childhood, but that most communities were saying our biggest gap is for parents of middle school and high schoolers now. And the OPEC initiative really came around to start early. Let's start somewhere and plant those seeds. But many of the hubs are now seeing this need. And many of them are starting to partner with other community groups as well to look at, okay, how do we start getting into parenting education for parents of youth and our teens? Because we need that. So it's growing, and we'd love to help it grow more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Pelosi.
Chair Lively. Mm-hmm. So can you put up the map again? Thank you. So I'm a little confused by hubs to begin with, I'll be very honest. So when we saw the other hubs, the map was full. So do we not collaborate together with other hubs, or what's working there or not working?
Well, Representative Peluso, the foundations are in a role that is different from the state in that we aren't necessarily trying to reach the whole state at once. Our goal
is to get there.
Okay.
And we offer the opportunity to apply for new funding every year, but we can't require that every region have a parenting hub, unlike you at the legislature and in state government.
Unlike us.
And nor can we carve up the state. And so we do have requirements for minimum size, mm-hmm. but beyond that, we have left it up to community decision making to decide whether they're ready. You'll see that Multnomah County does not have a hub.
Yeah, I did see that.
And it's perplexing to us. We wish we could get there because it's the most populous county. Some of the most diverse communities are in Multnomah County, of course. There are lots of programs doing excellent work, but they're not coordinated, and we think a parenting hub could make a difference. But no organization has stepped up to say they're ready, and we're not going to push it if they're not. I'm happy to say that we seem to be moving towards including Sherman, Gillum, and Wheeler counties in this next cycle. They look like they're going to be joining forces with Hood River and Wasco counties, and that will mean we'll just have three counties left to go. But they do, in some cases, it is the same organization. In other cases, they are not the same organizations as the early learning hubs. And over time, maybe we'll move towards more of a merger, but because two systems have developed at different times and with different patterns, that isn't where we are right now.
Thanks. Thank you so much for that explanation. It makes perfect sense now, and I should have clicked a little better on that. And I am happy to work offline with either or both of you to see if we can get Multnomah County engaged. Happy to do that.
We would welcome that.
Well, it's really important. And I love that we're talking about the parenting piece of early childhood. I just, sometimes that gets missed. So thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for the answer.
Other questions? I have a couple.
Okay.
So, and when Representative Bynum raised the issue of parents of teens, so I go back earlier, so parents before their parents. So whether it's high school age, I don't know where that would be. So, because in some cases, once they're already a parent, the stress and stuff is already so severe they're being able to deal with in that. So I don't know if that, is that part of the program, or is that something else we're doing?
Can I answer that?
Absolutely. And we have different partnerships that are emerging that really speak to that. Mm-hmm. And even with the university, at Oregon State University, yeah. I teach parenting education to college students.
Sure.
And last term, I had almost 100 students in the course. Oh. Only two were parents. Everybody else was either going into this field or thinking that they might become parents at some mm-hmm. point in time. So I think efforts like that are an important way to disseminate. But then also in partnering with hospitals, with CCOs, with clinics, and partnering from the time that folks are going in prenatally as well, mm-hmm. and as well as thinking about high schools and reaching students there. We have a very unique partnership with the Lynn Benton Parenting Hub with the local hospitals there, where they've just launched a project they're calling PolyWog. And this is a project where folks who sign up for birthing classes are now in the system for parenting education. So they go online through the Lynn Benton Hub, sign up for their birthing parenting education classes, and now from that moment, they're connected with the parenting hub. So they're getting information about the next class, when they bring their baby home, when they bring their toddler home, and so on. And so looking at how do we encourage other hubs to have those partnerships where we're hitting prenatally, but then also what are these other opportunities?
And that's a CCO investment. I think you heard about that at a previous meeting. The CCO is putting the money in for that, even though many of the parents who are participating are not Medicaid clients. Yeah.
We have one advantage. We could just mandate high schools to do it, have an unfunded mandate, and they'd have figured out, wouldn't they? So I have one more question. So the 13%, so you talked about the 13% on return on investment early on in that. So we hear a lot of this whole thing about return on investment. So I'd like to understand what the background is to how that 13% was derived.
Sure. That comes from James Heckman's work, who's an economist. And there have been many different studies that have looked at the impact of Head Start, the impact of High Scope, the Obesitarian Project, all these different early childhood, sort of pioneering early childhood projects. Mm-hmm. And Heckman's work has really taken a look at what are these long-term effects of the high-quality programs, and that 13% return on investment primarily comes from long-term investments to society. So it's reduced incarceration rates, improved employment, which would then on the flip side be lower rates of unemployment or drawing from some of those services, improved high school completion, college attendance, and so on.
All the way through. That's great.
That's right. Thank you.
Hack, did you have a question?
I did. Thank you, Chair. Back in the day, we had our community progress teams, and they did family support services and offered parenting classes and connected communities. Does that no longer happen, or do you connect at all with those folks? I mean, I can remember Brent's back in the back of the room. We spent a ton of time training folks from our community progress teams to go out and do a lot of the work that you're talking about. So I'm curious, what happened to that? Is that gone? What did we do with all of that, all of the investment we made back then? Do you know? Maybe you're not familiar with that.
Chair Lively, Representative Hack, I am not familiar. Was that a local Marion County program?
They were countywide programs, and they focused at different times. I think we had Parenting Now. There were many different initiatives that we did, and some of those were Latino-based. Woodburn was a huge leader. I know up the canyon, Staten in that area were large leaders of the Latino groups. And they ran all those through the community progress teams. And I'm just curious,
does anybody from this region know what happened to those programs?
Oh. Thank you. If you just introduce yourself. Introduce yourself for the record.
Hi, Chairman Lively and members of the committee. I'm Margie Lau, and I'm with the Marion and Polk Early Learning Hub.
Okay.
And also the OPEC hub for Marion County. As we've gone out to promote our parenting opportunities along with the Kindergarten Partnership and Innovation Grant opportunities, we weave these two initiatives very closely together. We have encountered legacy parent trainers from those earlier endeavors. We also have discovered that our local children's behavioral health program, through some of their prevention and early intervention supports, also does parenting education. So as we encounter other partners who are doing parallel work, we add them to the fold, and we coordinate again our efforts. And that is one area in which we are being able to better reach the older youth and teenagers that our OPEC funds really aren't targeted to.
Can I have a follow-up?
Certainly.
I appreciate that. And the reason I bring part of that up is because part of those, the trainings and the things that we spent thousands and thousands of dollars on were partly county funds, I can remember, and OCF actually funded some of those as well. So I would just hate to see that investment go by the wayside. So I appreciate that you're reaching out to those folks and making sure that we don't waste the investment, because we did a lot of training and spent a lot of time on that. So thank you.
Facilitator turnover is an ongoing challenge, and so we're trying to do as effective job as we can in making sure that the folks that we train to facilitate our classes are people who are have the bandwidth and the support of whatever their other organization is to really be available to deliver the training in a variety of different settings.
Can I have one more?
Sure.
Thank you. So do the parenting hubs, and maybe you're going to come up and answer this later, the outreach to communities that are already offering some of the parenting classes and things, like I think about one of these groups that are still in existence that I know of. They're called Friends of the Family and several others that are still doing some of this work. Do the parenting hubs make the connection in the local communities to make sure that we're not doing a duplication of services, but yet we're pulling those entities into the hubs and doing further outreach in communities?
So I can answer that in terms of what happens in our own community here in Marion County. Representative Hack and Mr. Chairman, We try to keep a coordinated calendar. We meet with all the partners who that we know are active in the parenting education delivery system so that we're aware of who's planning a course and which particular curriculum in which parts of our community to make sure that we're not ending up dividing up the population so much that no one has a really successful class, but that we're also getting geographic dispersion across the wider area. We also do most of our parenting programs through what we call mini grants. This is a tip that we learned from our folks in Lane County who were ahead of us in this endeavor. And, you know, we have refined that process. And as I say, we use as our most active delivery system our local elementary schools because our work as a regular hub, early learning hub, has really given us that partnership already. And our schools are very interested in parent engagement. And so it's a natural partnership. Got it.
Senator Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Certainly.
It's driving me nuts. Were you with Governor Kulongoski's office, or where in the past do we know each other?
Mr. Chair, Representative Huffman, yes, I spent 36 years in state service, and then I retired and flunked retirement at 7 weeks, and I got picked up and recruited by our local Early Learning Hub, which is a nonprofit, so I
knew we had worked together in the past.
Yes, I worked on education policy, and our paths definitely crossed. So.
Any further questions for this panel?
Chair Lively, could I just say one more thing in response to Representative Hack's last question, which is that you hit on one of the reasons we decided to invest in a hub model if we wanted to achieve a wider availability of high-quality programs for parents, and to be assured that we as foundations, that our resources would be used well and would not be duplicating effort. So when a region applies to us initially for hub funding, they need to show us that this is a collaborative decision, that the key partners are at the table, that they agreed together that one organization was going to take the lead, and that organization doesn't tell the others what to do, but they lead the effort to plan and allocate resources and identify gaps, and one of the requirements they have to meet in the first year of funding is a strategic plan for parenting in the region, and it ends up in many cases overlapping and dovetailing with the Early Learning Hub strategic planning, and we wouldn't be doing what we wanted to accomplish if we were just helping more duplication happen.
Can I ask one more?
Certainly.
Thank you, Chair Lively. I might have missed this part. How long have the parenting hubs been up and running?
We funded our first group of six in 2010. So that original group is now in its seventh year of funding, and we're planning to stick with it for at least a few more years. We want to make sure that it's established, well-functioning, that it doesn't fall apart, that the integration is happening with the other systems, and we'll be your partners in this work to reach children and families for a number of years to come.
Well, thank you. OCF, I'm sure many of us would agree, has been an amazing partner in many, many ways for our state. So thank you for the amazing work that you do. And
we have the partnership of the Collins Foundation and the Meyer Memorial Trust and the Ford Family Foundation, and we're doing it together. And my last slide, I just like, it's that one, to point out that this is a scene. The sign, helpfully watched over by a bull, is one that was erected by our Wallawa Baker Malheur Parenting Hub, Building Healthy Families, just to leave you with a great Oregon scene.
That's great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So next we have Taylor, Ann, and Jennifer. It sounds like they've set the stage high expectations. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. If you introduce yourself for the record.
Taylor Ledke. Good afternoon, Chair Lively, Vice Chair Hack, Vice Chair Peluso, and members of the committee. I am the Parenting Education Hub Coordinator for United Way of Lane County. Thank you for this opportunity to be here today. I am honored to highlight the work of Lane County's Parenting Education Hub and its impact on creating coordinated, aligned systems for parents and kids. I plan to give an overview of Lane County's Parenting Education Hub and then introduce Ann Johnston Diaz, who is a parent educator with the Bethel School District, and Jennifer Webster, who can speak to our partnership with our local CCO Trillium. So Lane Kids is Lane County's parenting education hub. Our main goal, as shared by Lane County's early learning hub, are that parents have the knowledge, tools, and support systems to nurture their child's optimal development, and that children are prepared for success in school and life. To accomplish these goals, we focus on implementing the following strategies: funding evidence-based parenting education series, building capacity for implementation of evidence-based parenting education, both at the agency and the community level, engaging parents and holding a strong presence in the community as Lane County's one-stop shop for parenting resources, and strengthening and aligning the parenting education system with other systems, including K-12, early learning, and health. Lane Kids originated with funding from OPEC 6 years ago, and since then has positioned itself to leverage both Early Learning Hub and CCO funding to grow its annual overall project budget from $100,000 in 2011 to nearly $600,000 in 2017. We have been successful at pairing OPEC's critical coordination funds with Trillium and Early Learning Hub program funds to ensure our success in accomplishing the previously mentioned strategies. Within the last 4 years, Lane Kids has funded more than 60 community-based, evidence-based parenting education series in Lane County and launched a multi-tiered parenting program called Triple P Positive Parenting Program that includes an online parenting education series free to Trillium members. Due to our partnership with Trillium, we have nearly tripled the amount of series we fund per year, from 8 in 2014 to 22 in 2016, serving approximately 900 parents. And I'll mention that out of those 22, about half were in Spanish and half in English. What's more is that we know these series are effective. As reported in Parenting Skills Ladder, the tool developed by OSU to measure the effectiveness of parenting education programming, 95% of parents report that the parenting series was somewhat to very helpful and that they would probably or definitely recommend the series to other parents. This growth in series is in part a reflection of increased funding and part a reflection of increased agency and community capacity to implement these series. To build capacity at both agency and community levels, Lane Kids trains local providers in evidence-based curriculum and normalizes and coordinates parenting education to increase referrals to parenting support agencies. Last year, with funding from Trillium, Lane Kids offered more than 60 slots at locally held curriculum trainings to several strategically picked entities, including school districts, community health centers, and agencies who serve underserved populations like teen parents and parents who identify as Hispanic. With continued Trillium funding, we plan to greatly expand on these efforts by offering an additional 80 slots at local trainings in the coming year. In efforts to normalize and coordinate parenting support in Lane County, Lane Kids has grown a popular and robust website and social media presence. Please draw your attention to the slide on the screen for a peek at what the Lane Kids website looks like. With this website, Lane Kids social media, and several advertising campaigns for initiatives like Vroom, Child Abuse Prevention Month, Mind Your Mind, and Triple P, Lane Kids is able to spread positive messages about parenting education at a community population level. With critical coordination funds from OPEC, Lane Kids is able to staff the management of these efforts and to host the Lane Kids website, which includes parenting blogs in English and Spanish, an events calendar that houses information about activities and programs happening countywide for families, a list of resources for parents, and the sign-up portal for Triple P Online. Engaging with parents to find out how we can best support them is important to us. In a community-wide parenting survey Lane Kids administers every 3 years, parents have told us that what they want is a one-stop shop for everything parenting. The development of the Lane Kids website was in response to that request. And last but not least, Lane Kids strengthens and aligns systems by leveraging OPEC coordination funds with both Trillium and Early Learning Hub funds to accomplish shared metrics regarding healthy, stable families and school readiness. These partnerships have spawned important systems alignment projects that I will mention briefly. So please, again, draw your attention to the slide on the screen for a visual showing how ELA and Lane Kids collaboration works towards a realization of the state's vision for kids in Oregon. Lane Kids is the face of parenting education for the Lane Early Learning Alliance. As shown in the slide and proven throughout OPEC's presentation, Lane Kids supports the accomplishment of all three of the ELA's overall goals. There have been several collaborative projects worth note between the ELA and Lane Kids, but in the interest of time, I will highlight just one. The coordination and expansion of district-based community centers called Family Resource Centers. Thanks to these efforts, all 12 Family Resource Centers in Lane County offer parenting support programming and kindergarten readiness activities for families. And as mentioned throughout my presentation, Lane Kids' partnership with Trillium has allowed for major expansion of parenting education services and greater integration of parenting education in healthcare systems. Besides funding curriculum trainings for parent educators and implementation of parenting education series, they have partnered with Lane Kids to launch the Triple P project, which includes a positive parenting communications campaign, brief parenting interventions in primary care clinics, and an online parenting education series for parents who face barriers to attending in-person series. In conclusion, OPEC funding has been critical to the health of these partnerships and success of these projects. It has been an honor to be here with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Hello, all. My name is Ann Johnston Diaz. I'm a parent educator. I've been doing that for more than 12 years, so I'm pretty sure I'm one of those veterans that was trained in that first cycle, mostly under the Commission of Children and Families. And our teen programs at the time came from youth investment dollars, which my understanding is are gone, at least in this avenue. So I just wanted to address that because I thought, I know something about that. Yeah, in my dreams, every fifth grade family would get one of those classes for transitioning to middle school and being prepared. Mm. But right now I'm focused on the early childhood folks. So I facilitated, I said more than 30, but then I started to think about it, probably more than 40 groups in Lane County over the last 12 years. I've been funded through Lane Kids since its inception. I'm trained in multiple evidence-based programs and currently is funded through Lane Kids to provide the Incredible Years Preschool Basic Program. We start our spring group tonight. We've heard about all the great outcomes that research shows happen for little people when their adults have the benefit of parenting education. And I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like from the parent perspective and what makes those positive outcomes so possible. I work for the Bethel School District. I run the Family Resource Center. It's a 0.5 position, and we do a lot. Our goal is to support families in being stable and attached and ready to school through play and other kinds of fun ways to learn and providing parented education and also referrals to social supports for families. We offer a variety of programming for families 0 to 8. But one of the things that we do is parenting education. So who are the parents that come and why do they come? Parents join the group for many reasons. Some often are struggling with a particular behavior. Some are doing really well and have pretty positive parenting perspectives. And some are really struggling in a negative reinforcement cycle and they're experiencing overwhelming external stressors, economic, relationship, housing, lots of housing issues in Lane County. The great thing about evidence-based parenting programs is that they really offer something for everyone. Parents with a healthy, positive parenting perspective gain strategies and validation to deal with the bumps and cycles and development and changes that all of us have to deal with as parents, you know, guiding growing people. Parents who are really struggling learn strategies to support their own well-being and to break negative cycles and to gain tools to help them reset their relationships with their children. Parenting education, and some of the slides talked about this, really break isolation and provide positive supports for problem solving. You know, in these groups, folks begin to have a little bit of confidence in each other, exchange ideas, exchange sort of their problem for the week, or I went home and tried that strategy and this is how it blew up on me. So we fine tune in the group. They get a lot, I think, as much from each other as the guidance of the curriculums. They teach concrete strategies like child-directed play and appropriate and clearly communicated expectations, the importance of rules and routines, modeling, ignoring, redirecting, managing resistance, social and emotional coaching, teaching people to be happy and positive. They prove that positive reinforcement is effective, and this is something that, you know, I think in the last decade I've seen a real shift in that when I first started doing these groups that really focus on positive reinforcement strategies, I think for the first 4 or 5 years, there was always a spanking conversation. There wasn't always a, but this is how my parents did with me, and it was good enough for me, it's good enough. And I don't see that as much. I don't hear that as much. I also think that we have real evidence-based responses to that, to kind of talk to people about how they might have turned out great in spite of those experiences rather than because of those experiences. But part of why I think that these programs are really effective is that when people use the strategies, they really prove that positive reinforcement is effective with children. They see results. They support parents in being intentional and strategic in teaching and coaching their children. I heard Shauna say, you know, all families are different. All families have different goals, values, expectations of their children. But oftentimes, because of all of the pressures that parents are under, we kind of execute a kind of drive-by parenting style, or just holler the 12 commands down the hallway and hope that they land on somebody's head kind of parenting style. And so we often get in our own way and use strategies that are less effective. So really helping parents kind of take and assume responsibility for what outcomes they want for their children. I was sharing on the way up, we do something on the first night where we ask folks why they're in the room, and that's where we get the list of all of the behaviors, like all of the reasons I came tonight because I want this stuff to stop in my house, right? And then we also ask parents, who do you want your children to be when they launch from your home? What do you want their values to be? How do you want them to feel about themselves? How you want them to be with others? And so we kind of map those as our goals for our outcomes. And it's a really effective way to help parents kind of make choices and connections between the strategies in the program and how they help them get to their goals, and how reframing those negative, these are the behaviors I don't want to see, into having an intentional communication with your child about what you do want for them and why you want it for them. As they get 10 and up, you have to add in the reasons. When they're smaller, not so much. But later, they need to know why. They need to know why. So it gives parents a lot of empowerment to be at the helm and to take control of some of these behaviors by teaching the behaviors they want instead. And so we spend a lot of time working on the, yeah, I understand that we want no whining. What is it that we want instead? I understand that we want no backtalking. What is it that we want instead? And really teaching our children, what does respectful communication look like? What does using your big girl or big boy or big kid voice look like when you're needing something rather than whining for attention? And we talk about all of the different ways that we inadvertently reinforce behaviors we'd rather not see, because we're always teaching and always guiding, whether or not we have that button kind of turned on in our head as parents. It's always happening. They're always watching us and they're always learning. Evidence-based programs support parents in having appropriate expectations of their children, which really can reduce resistance. It's really hard to comply with something that's just not developmentally appropriate as a request. It reduces parent-child conflict for some of those same reasons, and because it increases communication strategies. It reduces household stress. And most importantly, I think it really, like I was talking about, the empowerment of parents making choices about what they want and guiding their children towards those goals, it gives parents an increase in confidence, particularly as they see some of the strategies start to work. Parents can also access social service resources and referrals. So, why does this work? And this is just my observation of folks. When we really try the strategies, when we're honest with ourselves and we really try to implement these things, when we work with the support of others to go through the hard stuff, to figure out why some things worked for us or our child's temperament or our own temperament, and get to work through it, when we have that support from others, when we have multiple strategies and feedback both from professionals and other parents, and when we have compassion for our children and their behaviors, we get better outcomes. When we have compassion for ourselves, we get better outcomes. We learn to give our children what they need and what they deserve, and then they have to act out less to get it. And they, in turn, are happier and feel more secure and have fewer difficult behaviors. We learn strategies that can grow with our children to meet new challenges. And I think that's important often in the classes where I might have mostly families of kiddos 0 to 6, but they might have the odd 10, 11, 13-year-olds. Some of our families are very stretched out. That we get to talk about some of those strategies, and having those trainings and curriculums under my belt let me address some of those things for families. And the other thing about evidence-based programs, and I think this gets to kind of the ready for school piece, is that they are so communication-centered. They're really about having more effective communication with your children. And so there's a lot of opportunities for really rich language and connecting, kind of connecting the dots experiences for children. And parents get really concrete strategies around teaching social and emotional skills so that when kids are in peer groups, they have those self-regulation skills that allow them to be successful and make friends and allow them to learn rather than, you know, being the kid that's never been to preschool, never been to kindergarten, didn't get that coaching at home, and is squiggling and crying under their desk for the first 3 weeks of kindergarten. So it gives everybody some skills that can grow with us and serve families and children throughout their life cycles. That's what
Thank
I have.
You. Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What kind of a relationship do you have with the relief nursery?
With the relief nursery?
Lane County was you know, kind of the beginnings there. And it sounds like there might be some relationship with passing folks back and forth referrals?
A little bit of cross-referral. The Relief Nursery in Lane County has a really robust parenting education program built in to the center. So I would say that referrals probably go like this. From the Relief Nursery, I'm less likely to get a client for a parenting education group. I'm more likely to get folks that will come to story times, Lego puzzles and pre-math, which is pattern blocks and all kinds of other things that make us use our brains for design. Or we have a sort of relax program that's adult child coloring, where we have adult, you know, the adult coloring books that are a big thing, warm beverages. It's just grown-up conversation, and the kids are in the playroom, and we're all in there together. So there's lots of drive-by coaching of parents and modeling of different ways to approach different behaviors and conflicts that arise inevitably in the kiddos. So I get referrals going that way, like go use their general services, go have fun with your kids, go do something positive with your kids. And I refer the other direction when in the course of a parenting group, I find a family that is really needing additional supports, then I would refer them to relief nursery programs.
I'm just going to jump in really quickly, too. We fund the relief nursery to implement parenting education series in Lane County, and they're also a part of our Parenting Education Hub steering committee. So they're very much a part of all of the strategic planning that happens for our hub as a whole, and very connected to parenting education happening across the county.
Great, thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Jennifer Webster. I am a senior community health analyst with Lane County Public Health, and I am pleased to be here today to tell you about the unique relationship that Lane County Public Health has with our coordinated care organization, Trillium Community Health Plan, and specifically why a health plan would be interested in funding parenting education. So Trillium Community Health Plan has made an investment in primary prevention in Lane County in recognition that population-level prevention strategies are vital to achieving the triple aim of reducing cost, improving care, and improving health outcomes. To this end, Trillium has invested $1.33 per member per month for primary prevention strategies. That funding goes towards positions at Lane County Public Health to oversee the implementation of those strategies, which include my position, and then also programs to address their priority areas for prevention, which are reducing tobacco use, reducing childhood obesity, and improving behavioral health outcomes. And how that is related, and I'm going to talk about how that's related to parenting education. So Trillium learned that 5 of their top 10 cost-driving and prevalent conditions in their population were behavioral health conditions. Those, can you do my slide? And those include depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, bipolar disorder, and substance abuse. And I work with a subcommittee of the Community Advisory Council of Trillium to develop strategies to address these issues. And when we looked at the research and the evidence, what we found is that these conditions have very similar risk factors that contribute to them, such as family conflict and stress, antisocial behavior, family dysfunction, poverty, academic failure, and adverse childhood experiences.
Excuse me, I think Representative Huffman had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair.
Sure.
So were these identified through the community health assessment, or what mechanism informed this?
In 2013, Trillium put together a list of what they called their ACA conditions. I don't know why they're called that, but they were the top cost-driving and prevalent conditions in their population. So they use their claims data to come up with this.
So do these help drive the community health improvement plan also, do you know, for the CCO?
Yeah, so our community health improvement plan actually is a collaboration between Trillium, Lane County Public Health, and United Way, and so I'm sure this data is incorporated in there in some way.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So fortunately for those of us who were charged with finding a way to address these issues, there's increasing evidence that providing support and skill development for parents fosters the creation of nurturing environments, which can then mediate and or prevent these risk factors from developing into lifelong behavioral and physical health conditions. So as someone mentioned earlier, that we know in Oregon, 64% of adults have experienced one or more adverse childhood experiences, and half of Oregonians living in poverty have experienced 3 or more adverse childhood experiences. And there is a growing body of research that demonstrates that the more adverse childhood experiences you experience, or the higher your ACE score, the more likely you are to be at risk of developing not only behavioral health conditions such as depression and substance abuse disorders, but also cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and other health conditions. So reducing adverse childhood experiences by providing education and support for parents will help our community to realize long-term health benefits. So Trillium's efforts are focusing really on strengthening the skills and resiliency and nurturing capacity of families. And this will have, because the return on investment on parenting education is very long term, and a health plan really wants short term investment as well. We also chose our strategies that will also have immediate impacts on the health of Trillium's adult and child members, while providing long-term benefits to the mental and physical health of the community overall. And so the programs that we chose really have demonstrated short-term outcomes in improving engagement with families, improving access to behavioral health treatment, improving pregnancy outcomes, improving socio-emotional health for children, increasing readiness for school, improved family relationships, reductions in conduct problems for children, and reductions in maternal depressive symptoms. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Representative
Hayden. So, thank you. Chair Lively, how will this program be affected? You're basically saying that you give 0.75% roughly of the per month capitation to the community benefit. The requirements coming up in the future are going to allow you to go, the CCOs to go to 5%, significantly more dollars. Will we look forward to more of those dollars going to programs like this? I mean, you're at $1.33 per member per month. You're under a percentage, or 20% of the goal of 5% that the state's looking for in the future 1115 waiver. So how will the funding from Trillium affect these types of programs? What is your projections on that?
I honestly don't know. So my understanding is that the $1.33 is less than a half of 1% of Trillium's overall budget. I don't know how they arrived at that number. That was decided before I was hired, so I wasn't part of any of those conversations. Obviously, from a public health perspective, we would love to see a higher percentage go towards primary prevention efforts, because we know that those are the efforts that have the greatest return on investment in the long term. But I have no idea what the future plans for that capitation is.
So follow up.
Sure.
So just, you're not involved with that decision of the half. I think it's a little more than a half, but half percent. Not involved with that process.
Not at all. No. That's above my pay grade.
Thank you.
Other questions? So, Taylor, I have just a clarification. I think you talked about some of the program is training others to be able to deliver. So help me understand. So what's the follow-up? So you train 60 people or whatever the case may be. So what's the follow-up to understand how those people are using that training? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I assume they're from different organizations.
Yeah. So those trainings happen for multiple curriculums throughout the year, and the Lane Kids Steering Committee gets together and strategically decides what our outreach for those trainings will be. Most often it's building capacity at agencies who are already doing parenting education, so that if a parent educator is sick, they have a backup or support in the classroom. But we also are very strategic about wanting to expand the capacity at the community level. So there's very strategic outreach to certain priority populations like rural areas, or partnering with places like Downtown Languages or Centro Latino Americano, who serve Hispanic families. And then there's always follow-up, whoever we do outreach to train. There's the thought that eventually we would want to fund them or see them implement parenting education at some sort of higher level than they are currently. So for example, we trained two people from Downtown Languages last year, and this year they're now going to receive funding from Lane Kids moving forward.
Great. Other questions? Doesn't look like it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So I think that completes our informational. So I'm going to close the informational hearing. Anything else to come before the committee? Your work begins next Thursday, so just get ready.
This wasn't work.
No.
No,
okay. No others? Okay.
This
not?
Thursday.
No?
This Thursday. Next Thursday.
Oh, both. That's right. She reminded me. So next coming Thursday and the following Thursdays.
This Thursday and next Tuesday.
And then next
Tuesday.
Thursday.
Next Tuesday.
What is the 7th? So this Thursday, next Tuesday. You got it straight. So the only other thing I would let the committee know, so we talked about one of the strategies was being helping me be better prepared when the budget of the early learning division is being discussed. That strategy isn't going to work tremendously well because their budget comes up this week in the sub. But what will happen in the presentation, so we'll get this before our conversation on this Thursday, we'll have information about the metrics and the success of the hubs and that, and then David will be coming back later on the 7th, and he'll talk about the budget. But that's all well and good, because we're not approving budgets at this point. We're just having the presentation of the budgets. Then we'll go back later and talk about the outcomes and that. That's why I asked the question about the 13% return, because that's going to be some of the questions we ask in the budget committee. So what are we achieving? How can we prove that these investments are leading to what they want to? So it's a little out of sync, but we'll have plenty of opportunity. Okay? But we'll have plenty of opportunity. Okay?